This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. Over the past few days, social media became awash with the hashtag Bandera Puteh, or white flag. And the movement is a community response to the economic hardship that many are facing. But what started as a grassroots initiative for charity has sparked a political backlash of sorts. And so joining me on the show today to discuss this is Nathaniel Tan, strategic communications consultant and part of Project Bangsa Malaysia. He recently penned a commentary in Malaysia Kini on the white flag movement. Good morning, Nathaniel.
Morning. Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start from the very beginning. What do we know about the origins of the hashtag Bandera Puteh movement? And what really struck me is how nascent it is, but it has created a big splash across the nation in just a matter of days. So what do we know about how this got started?
Thanks, Shazana. The amazing thing about the white flag campaign is that it wasn't started by Malaysians who needed help. It was started by Malaysians who wanted to help. No one is having an easy time during this MCO. It's really hard to describe just how frustrated and how incredibly angry Malaysians are right now with the situation. Even the rich are suffering and the poor are suffering much, much more. But amidst all this suffering, there are still Malaysians who are going out of their way, stretching their already overstretched budgets to help their fellow Malaysians. And they're doing this because they've seen that politicians and the government have failed them. They've failed to bring the COVID-19 pandemic under control, and they've failed to help Malaysians weather the COVID-19 storm. And Malaysians have recognized this right from the start. The first viral initiative in response to this madness was Kita Jaga Kita last year. And this white flag campaign, I think, is just the latest version of the same spirit, which rejects the notion that we should depend on or wait for politicians to help us, in favor of the notion that the only way we'll get through this is by helping one another.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, Nathaniel, and say that, well, the government has issued up to, what, 7 or 8 stimulus packages with different initiatives to help the people. I mean, can we really say that the government isn't doing anything when there are these avenues for people to tap into?
Well, I mean, only a very, very biased person would say they're doing nothing at all. I mean, clearly they're doing something, and some parts of the government are functioning a little bit better than others. But, this whole 150 billion thing looks impressive from the start, but it really doesn't seem to have translated to people feeling helped on the ground. As an economist friend of mine said, we don't have a good social safety net system, so things have a long lead time. I think months before you feel the benefits, and how long, and where were you going to be in months? You might not survive a few months. If it had been effective and sufficient, you probably wouldn't see campaigns like the white flag campaign becoming so viral.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just hop on that. And when you said that this movement is by people who want to offer help, so that's really just one side of the equation, in the sense of the society. And do you think this says something about the power dynamics in our society in terms of who actually gets heard?
I mean, I think I would look at it this way. The white flag campaign also started because it's a very simple way to ask for help, and it's the difficult thing to do, ask for help. If you've ever been in a position where you've had to ask for help, it's not easy, right? So, I think this is an idea that a few people, anonymous people, came up with, and it got a lot of response because it's a simple way. It's not complicated, and I don't think this is about power dynamics or who is heard and who thinks or not. Someone just started thinking to themselves, how can we help Malaysians? And this was an idea that came to mind, and it took off because it makes sense, it works, it's simple. And so, I think that's why it's taken off and caught fire.
Right. It just really resonated with a lot of people who are probably feeling helpless and want to do something. And this offered that outlet. It offered like a tangible way to channel that feeling of helplessness, essentially.
Exactly. It's really impressive by, I'm really impressed by how passionate people are in wanting to help. We're not out here kind of like drowning in our own sorrows and, tearing our hair out. So many Malaysians out there thinking, how can I help? How can I make a difference? How can I reduce the suffering of my fellow Malaysians? And I think that's amazing.
It is a big testament to the spirit of Malaysians. There's so many anecdotes and stories about how Malaysians are helping each other. What's something that's caught your eye among all the stories out there?
Just last week, I got a friend of mine who works with this organization called Solidaritas. Although I think he does a lot of fundraising on a personal capacity, he gives out his phone number and say, hey, if you need help, just give me a call, right? Or text me. And that's what somebody did. This is one guy texted him. He said, hey, I don't have any money to feed my kids. Can you just buy some beras for me, some rice? And this guy did, right? And then a few weeks later, or a few months later, you know, one day he just texts my friend back out of the blue. He says, ini, I'm reading this out, right? He said, bro, terima kasih bantu aku hari tu. Hari ni, aku nak balas balik. Ada tak siapa yang kau kenal yang susah dan perlukan bantuan? Aku nak derma. I mean, think about that for a second, right? This guy, not so long ago, was so poor that he cannot feed his kids. Few weeks later, and I'm sure he didn't win the lottery or anything like that. A few weeks later, he probably came into a few hundred ringgit or something like that. And he said, hey, bro, I want to pay it forward. I want to help someone. And that's exactly what he did. My friend, I gave him the number of somebody else who had asked for help all the way in Sabah. And the guy transferred the money to him. Said, this is my donation. Can you imagine? This is semangat bangsa Malaysia lah. Bangsa membantu, right? This is the best that we can aspire to lah.
Right. And that's just one example of one person who's doing that, you know, the idea of paying it forward, of helping others after he has been helped himself. But as always, things get messy when politics enter the scene, and hashtag Bendera Putih was no different. So it's not surprising that politicians tried to piggyback on popular trends. But a lot of people took issue with political figures that used hashtag Bendera Putih. And this was something that you wrote about in your commentary.
Right, yeah. I think, you know, people got really angry at Minister Zuraida Kamarudin because the white flag campaign quite simply would not exist if the cabinet was doing its job. That's the simplest way to put it. And people are also angry because they see Zuraida as being at the center of the Sheraton move. You know, in a similar way, every time Azbin Ali opens his mouth on Twitter, he's drowned by angry tweets attacking him from all sides, you know. But people also got upset with Amana, who issued a directive to put up white flags everywhere. Now, if you put up white flags as a sign of political protest, and how are we supposed to know, how are we supposed to tell who needs aid and who's just angry? And perhaps most of all, people got really angry at Sanusi Nola, the Menteri Besar of Kedah, who arrogantly said the Kedah government will not recognize white flags as a sign for help. Now, all this because he felt that all these were allegedly a tool of political propaganda. Now, this is a perfectly horrible example of people holding emergency aid hostage to political interests. And people got furious, absolutely furious.
So people were really offended by the fact that something that was apolitical, it really had nothing to do with politicians of either side. The fact that politicians of both sides tried to hijack what was a sincere initiative for their own means. I think that's what really got people's goat, right? The fact that they were using this to make themselves look good in one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, if you put it in a very, very short way, it's like, if you can't do your job to help, the least you can do is not stand in the way.
Okay. You mentioned the comments by the Chief Minister of Kedah, who dismissed the use of the white flag as a form of political propaganda. Do you think that he would have said that if other opposition politicians hadn't tried to use the hashtag to make their point?
I can't speak to that, but you know what I can say is that regardless of, you know, whether you think this is damaging your political career or not, I mean, my friend, there are much bigger things at stake than your political career or your political wars, you know. It's not the opposition's fault for hijacking it or, you know, whichever. I don't think it's the opposition who first started hijacking it. And it doesn't matter who did it first. I mean, this is not a playground, you know, fight among kids and, oh, he did it first. I mean, nobody cares. The problem here is that people are suffering and help needs to be channeled to them straight away. And people should never, ever be punished for asking for help, which is what happened in Kuantan, which is what happened in Kepong. You know, people felt afraid that oh, the government is going to come after me if I put up a white flag. And it's just terrible and wrong. Yeah.
And we saw over the weekend the emergence of another flag movement, this time hashtag Bendera Hitam or Black Flag. And this is clearly a show of political frustration on the part of the people. I mean, we've got large swaths of the public that they've been simmering in discontent ever since the Sheraton move in February. But do you think that the disproportionate reactions from the government authorities to Bendera Putih ultimately spurred this latest show of protest?
Well, I definitely think it fed into it. I mean, again, especially after the Kedah Menteri Besar Sanusi Noor, you know, said the thing that he did. I mean, people, like I said, just furious, brimming with anger. And of course, if you're angry, you don't want to fly a white flag because then it becomes confusing, right? So they came out with another campaign to do the black flag. I don't think it's just about politics. It's just about anger, frustration, you know. I wouldn't call it a political protest. I think of it as a protest against politics, you know. It's an entire ecosystem that has totally failed us. Yeah.
You don't think that it's more than just a sign of discontent against this government, is it? It's really a bigger feeling than that.
I think so. I mean, you know, it's definitely directed primarily at the government, you know, which I understand, you know, but I also, I mean, I tend to play a bit of devil's advocate, you know, I think we've got to do, I mean, there are a lot of people who are just calling for the government to resign, calling for the PM to step down and things like that. But I think, you know, on the part of activists, we need to have a little bit more than that. We need to have a plan. You know, if the prime minister resigned tomorrow, that doesn't solve all our problems. You know, I mean, you're going to enter into a period of severe political civil war, severe instability and things like that. So I think we need change, but we need to think very carefully about, you know, what we want to replace the current system with, if that's what we want to do.
I'm speaking to Nathaniel Tan, strategic communications consultant and one of the founders of Project Bangsa Malaysia. What's his vision for political change? We'll delve into that after these messages. BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. I'm Shazana, and today I'm discussing social media movements and grassroots change with Nathaniel Tan, strategic communications consultant and part of Project Bangsa Malaysia, a coalition seeking to change the way we think of politics. This is something that you've also written about what, how do we change our political system, or what should replace the way things are now? What do you think is the best way to end this political limbo that we're in?
Thanks very much. I think the most important thing that we need to do is replace this kind of system of this political culture of political oppositional culture, confrontational culture, with a democratic culture of collaborative consensus building. You know, politics in Malaysia has become a very, very much a zero-sum game. This has to do with over-centralization of power in the office of the prime minister, which makes, you know, the only political question worth asking is like, who is going to be the next PM? And you know, all the politicians have become completely obsessed with this question. They don't do anything else besides fight over who is going to be the next PM, and it's a dysfunction that infects the entire system. So I think we've got to start thinking about different ways in which we need to do democracy. You know, and I think this white flag campaign, this Kita Jaga Kita, these are all excellent examples of Malaysians coming together to solve our own problems and to lead ourselves. No, I think this is an excellent example, right? Example, proof of concept, role model kind of thing of how the country should be run in general. You know, we've got to think about how can we bring everyone to the table in an inclusive decision-making way, rather than this whole sort of like, you know, everyone being out to kill one another, backstab one another. It's just completely dysfunctional.
It sounds really idealistic, what you're asking for. I mean, I don't see how politics can be taken away from the equation of governance of a country.
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on what you think about as politics. People tend to equate democracy and politics as like one vote every 5 years. And in our, and especially in our system, one vote means it's either this guy or that guy. So, you know, person A spends all their time trying to lessen the votes for person B, but and vice versa, right? So this is an entirely toxic system. And also, like all our political movements today don't have any kind of moral, ideological foundation, basically. That's why you see people changing parties so much, and you know, the entire system just being a lalang, going from left to right in a blink of an eye kind of thing, because there's no values, you know, at the foundation of what they do. So I think what we need to do now is to have a bottom-up grassroots democratic movement that is based on shared values, that does the work beforehand, before you start thinking about contesting, before you start thinking about politics and who you want to be PM and all that. Before you do that, you need to sit down and think about what are our shared values. If we are doing this fight, if we are working to better the country, you know, what direction do we want to go in? You know, you need to sort out those questions before you enter into this like political process. I think that's the only way that you come up with a government that really reflects the true, you know, diversity of Malaysian opinion and Malaysian aspirations.
Wow. But I suppose how quickly do you see that kind of change happening? I don't suppose that we'd see any sort of seismic changes to our system in the next general election, for example, if we go by what you're proposing, which is to foster that sense of, I don't know, shared values from the grassroots up.
Shazana, it's already happening. We've already started work on this. We've launched a Siri Dialogue Bangsa Malaysia, which again is out there to identify these kind of shared values, to build the kind of relationships, to build a real representative coalition. This work has already begun. You know, when I started off in activism and stuff like that, I started off with Kian Chua, right? And he told me, you know, people like to think that political change takes a long, long time. But historically, it's the opposite. Political change happens quickly. people are tired. I mean, you know, in this current situation, you talk about next general elections, if it's the current government or the current opposition, I don't think people see a big difference in one or the other. I think a lot of people are starting to see that, you know, it's really two sides of the same coin. They're two parts of a totally dysfunctional system. So I think the appetite for change is definitely there. And, you know, there are some of us who are working to make sure that all we need to do is to get the formula right, to get the approach right, and to be truly inclusive. And I think we're there.
Does that mean that we'd see the platform that you're part of run in the next elections, or what is that?
I think, you know, we've had a lot of discussions about this, and I think we concluded that if you start a movement and your first question is how do you win elections, then you become part of the problem, not part of the solution. You know, like I said, so what we've come up with is what we call a sequential activism, right? We do things one stage at a time. And the first stage must be to do nation building, like what we call post-political nation building. This idea that we need to build these foundational values around which we want to center the movement, that we want to anchor the movement. And then, and only then, if we succeed in doing that, if we succeed in building a shared values, a shared identity, a sense of shared purpose, you know, a sense of united shared purpose, which is so lacking in the country today, then and only then, if we succeed with that, then we start to think about how to contest and stuff like that, you know?
I see.
One thing at a time, yeah.
So where exactly is this platform of yours at the moment? Like, what are your benchmarks or milestones or timelines, and if you can share that at this stage?
Well, the first part of our campaign, like I said, is engagement. We want to talk to everybody. You know, we want to engage all communities of identity, all, you know, Malaysians from Perlis to Johor, from Penang to Sabah. You know, we want to make sure we build those kind of relationships. And it takes time. You know, I think that some people like to start political parties at a drop of a hat, and it becomes, you get run on some excitement on the short run. It's a little bit like making Maggie Me, it's a Maggie Me approach to the nation building. We want to do it. We want to, you know, do it the proper way, like marinate the food, you know, give it the time that it needs to really build, right? So that's where we are at. It won't be as fast as some other people have done, but it won't take as long as some other people fear it might take. That's what I believe.
Are you affiliated with any existing political parties? As in, are you allies with any of them, or do you discuss with other parties on these shared values that you want to build in the community or in the country?
Definitely not with any of the major political parties. I don't know whether you consider Party Socialist Malaysia. Sometimes they act more like an NGO than a party. We like some of the people there, but no. I think, like I said, if you try to like enter as some sort of like junior partner in a coalition, again, there's no point in that. You become part of the problem. That's not the approach that we are taking. If you get involved and start negotiations and things like that, this point is really a waste of time.
So how do you know that you're taking effect then? How is it not just a talk shop among the members of your platform? I mean, when do you see that there's actual change or actual progress?
Right now, as we speak, you know, over the weekend, you know, when you know, I think people are really not taking the COVID-19 numbers seriously, and the how our hospitals are overwhelmed, the general public, and definitely the politicians, the people in power, but civil society is, you know. So our colleagues, our friends, we're out there, we're talking to, like, you know, doctors at hospitals, you know, trying to find out what they really need, what the hospital directors are not telling us, you know, what the higher ups are not telling us. We're trying to get that kind of information. We're raising money, you know, for hospital beds, masks, anything that we need, you know. So we did this last year as well. This is not new, you know. And many, we work together with great organizations like ABIM, you know, who've been on the ground day after day, putting out aid at you know, B40 areas, you know, in places like Chow Kit, in the alleys and stuff like that. You know? So you know, and when with the impact, like I said, values, impact, policy, the impact part of our project is a lot about bringing people together, right? There are many NGOs already doing good work. We're trying to find ways to synergize and amplify their work, you know, so that it all looks like it's part of something bigger, a national movement. And there are many people who are doing it, and we are doing our best to support that efforts. And we're also maybe trying to do an ambitious telethon in a couple of weeks, which hopefully you'll hear about soon.
Okay. And I guess one final question about the longevity of these kinds of social media movements that we started with, like the Bendera Putih and Bendera Hitam. I mean, how effective or how long lasting can these movements be? I mean, ultimately, do you think these kinds of hashtags do they bring actual change in Malaysia, or is it just like a panacea for the time being to make us feel better while we're feeling bad at the moment?
Well, whether it's the former or the latter, it really depends on us. Depends on our own commitment, our own drive. know, some of these hashtags will come and go. Some of these initiatives will come and go. Many of them will stay. Many of them, you know, like it's like a spirit. Like I said, this, whether it's a hashtag Kita Jaga Kita or hashtag Bendera Putih, the concept is the same. Concept is we are helping one another. And, you know, again, in this line of work, there are some people who've proven themselves. So Abim Larigin, for example, is an organization that turns 50 years old this year. You know, so, you know, those guys, you know, their commitment is demonstrated. And, you know, for us, we hope to do the same. Project Wawasan Rakyat and Project Bangsa Malaysia as a whole. I believe we've got enough people to see this to the end. You know, and for me personally, it's my life's work. So I'm not going to give up until it's done. And I think there are many of us who feel the same way. And I think that will make the difference as to whether something lasts or it doesn't.
On that note, thanks for speaking with me today, Nathaniel, and sharing your thoughts on how grassroots movements spark change. That was Nathaniel Tan, strategic communications consultant, commentator, and part of Project Bangsa Malaysia. This has been Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.